been a whole week, but we're back together and it's time for another episode. Walls explode around us. Terror tears tarnished paint. Impossible defiant futures, trampling on loneliness. We are peroxide, burning through the dullest days, blinding mirrors and raising rainbows to wrap ourselves in. We dream of death, sleeping souls surrounded by green leaves, too young to have fallen but hungry to be close to us. You are locked inside a salmon shirt, and I long to set you free, begging my shaking hands to cooperate. I think it's very on brand for a self-absorbed millennial to think that their relationship is so important that all of those things could happen. But actually, I don't think it's limited to millennials. I think everybody kind of thinks like that. You know, it's kind of it's been happening for a long time. You know, as a now elderly racist once said, no, it's not like any other love. This one's different because it's us. I mean, you know, do trees sort of throw their still young leaves off when me and the person I love walk underneath? Maybe not, but it feels like they could, you know, because they stand. They decided to stand. We left them no choice. They ship us as do the kids still say that? I don't know. I know they used to on Tumblr, but I don't know. I haven't been on Tumblr in a very long time. The last time I saw about Tumblr, there was like some whole issue. There was like a bunch of child porn on the app, and then they were like, we're banning porn forever. And I was like, I mean, okay, cool, but you know, still like a bunch of white supremacists and shit on there. So, you know, let me just mosey on. Like, I have a Tumblr account, but I don't really use it all that much because, you know, anyway, but I liked kind of these images of just like this destruction that's, you know, sort of brought on by something good, you know. I mean, love is good, but maybe it's all crazy. I don't know. I really liked, you know, the whole sort of tearing the whole world down because we're so happy kind of vibe. I liked it. I hope it doesn't happen in real life though, because that actually would be quite scary, you know. All the leaves falling out the trees too early, walls just like exploding, you know. That shit would be terrifying. I got lost when you decided to find yourself, fucking off when my eyes couldn't explore. While my friends find me joining hands, circling the scene, skipping around my screams, chanting like schoolchildren. Fuck boys, it's okay, you don't even need him. I am streaming messy scrawls across my face, swimming all around me, and I drink my darkness, knowing that my theatrical friends are lying. That's another old one that I took from an old notebook and kind of edited, remixed, whatever you want to call it, for it to be released now. And I wrote that when I was about 19, after splitting up with my first serious boyfriend, who went off to do a bunch of fucking shit. I don't fucking know. I don't particularly care at this point in my life. I don't really recall why he was going. I just am now happy that he did. At the time, I felt very afraid. I felt very alone, and like I wouldn't be able to survive without him, and I didn't know how to function without him and all this dramatic dumb shit. And I mean, if somehow through time travel or whatever, previous me can hear this. Girl, we lived. We survived. But we're not just surviving. We're doing fucking great. I don't know what the fuck he's doing because I blocked him on social media. And that was a good decision to make. I didn't need him. I probably never needed him, really, like, realistically speaking. But, I mean, at least I got something to write about out of it. But he was never essential to who I was or we were, because we were still a complete person without him. And we will continue to be. We were then, we were before we met him, and we always will be, you know? I mean, I'm not going to sit here and lecture anybody on how unhealthy it is to kind of tie your worth as a person and your confidence and your self-esteem, whatever, to another person, because I do that all the fucking time. But what I am going to say is that I'm, you know, at this point in my life, I'm making a conscious effort not to do it, because I'm fine. I don't need another person to function. I was created as one person. And I can proceed through life as one person if that's what I'm going to do. If I meet someone and it's great, then that's great. But I don't need anybody else. You know what I mean? Especially, no, I'm not going to say that, that's mean. Fuck it, I'm going to do it. He wasn't even that cute. Girl, 19-year-old me, what the fuck was you crying about, girl? None of your friends liked him. Your mum didn't like him. You didn't even really like him sometimes. You know, it's not like you were, like, having this amazing, fun, wonderful relationship. You were a girl who had no self-confidence, and you were lonely, and you were sad, and, you know, he was, you know, he wasn't that fucking special, sis. He really, really wasn't. And yes, you deserve better than being hurt by him. Absolutely. But you know what? You don't owe him the luxury of being thought about by you. You don't. Okay? Because that's something special. Your mind, he does not deserve a place in it. And that's that on that. That is that on that. It wasn't until you left me empty that I learned how to overflow. Suddenly, in solitude, I had everyone I needed. I know that I'm breaking the structure of my podcast, but it's my podcast, so I can do that. But I just remembered that I wrote that when I was editing the other one, because I was like, you know, I was low-key, kind of, I don't know, I guess I kind of felt, like, not mad at myself, because, you know, I can't be angry with myself for feeling things like this, but, like, I feel like I wanted to kind of reflect on how I feel about it now, and how I would react to that kind of thing now. Somebody who had, you know, kind of built up this idea of this wonderful kind of thing that we would share, and then they kind of single-handedly tore it down and then fucked off, and how I would react to that now as opposed to how I reacted then, which was, you know, then I was just sort of crying and I don't know how to deal with this, I don't know how to function, I don't know how to live without him, oh my god. But now I'd just be like, bye bitch, see you later, you know, I don't care, I'm gonna be fine on my own. And I guess it's interesting to kind of look at those side by side, you know. And it's... Do you know, I think maybe if it happened now, I maybe wouldn't be as, you know, savage, as the kids say, about it, you know. I don't know. I think maybe I'm kind of just, like, trying to convince myself I'd say that. Maybe I would be a bit, like, I'd be, like, a bit savage, like, maybe to his face, but, like, behind the scenes, I'd be like, oh, I don't know. It hasn't happened, so thank God. So I wouldn't know. But the one thing I'll always sort of reflect on with this person, and I always remember it, and I think it's taken me a long time to kind of not just realize it, but kind of put it into practice, is this person has a habit of coming back to me and saying they were sorry for how things were, but then being exactly the way they were before. And, you know, so it's like I'm learning and I'm saying, sis, they're not sorry. This person is not sorry, you know? And so I think maybe I could be stronger and I could say, well, bye then. I don't care. If you're leaving, leave. I have things to do. Because, you know, I'm kind of learning from that. And I'm saying, well, if this person was sorry, then why do they do the same thing over and over, you know? Adult life is really fucking hard. Why the fuck did I sign up to any of this? To answer the question that I asked the shore, unsure and afraid on all the summer days I spent breathing at the bottom of the ocean, so the hands that craved the chance to save me could not reach me. Yes. To the boy on the island who gave the city to a country girl in one cataclysmic kiss, who watched the girl ask again and again something he already knew, reaching down into the rains around them, no matter how many times she fell, pulling her to safe dryness. Yes. Yes, I am enough. Yes, we are in love. Okay, so that is the latest in a continuing series of writing poetry based on my own songs, because I am narcissistically meta or something. Actually, that's not so much based on a song, it's more of a sequel to my song The Boy on the Island. I talked a little bit to my Patreon subscribers about the meaning behind that song. I could sit and try and explain it, but I'm just going to read what I wrote, because I feel like it summed it up very well. So, it's just about being lost in a sea of doubt and wanting to pull yourself out to be the person that someone sees when they are in love with you, but being trapped by yourself. The boy on the island is the person trying to pull you up. You just have to let them. So the song itself was about, you know, when someone is in love with you, they see you in a certain way, and you may not see yourself that way, because, you know, I mean, I think everybody sees themselves differently to how everybody else does. And it's about trying to align how you see yourself with how they see you, trying to allow yourself to have that same faith in you that they do. You know what I mean? So that was that. And so then I wrote the poem that I've just read, which is called The Girl on the Island, which is about kind of the struggle of trying to align those two views of who you are, trying to allow yourself to look in the mirror and to see what they see, trying to live your life seeing what they see when they look at you, and not looking at yourself and hating what you see. you know, and trying to find the beauty and the joy in who you are, you know, because if someone else can see it, it's probably there, you know what I mean? And obviously, I know that that's difficult and it can take a long time. And sometimes you can feel like you're there, but then you fall back in and you can't. And, you know, so I kind of wrote like a follow up to the song. It's still not about my beloved Vera. I feel like we've gone over this, but I also feel like I need to say it. Because I got... I still get Instagram DMs and tweets and emails about that. Because I made a dumb joke on Instagram. Because I'm a dumb bitch. But, yeah, so... you know... I quite like, actually, sort of adapting things I've written into other things. I think it's a really interesting way, because sometimes it changes the perspective when you turn it into something else, you know. Not so much with this one, because it wasn't so much a changed perspective, more just a continuation of the story. But like in other things where I've adapted like songs into poems or the other way around, it's kind of changed the perspective a little bit. So it's really fun to kind of experiment further with something I've created and kind of create something, you know, new on top of it. So it's a really interesting way of creating things. We had been together 6 months when she asked me again to tell her about myself. I thought about just handing her my press bio, running from the room, where I didn't have to confront my coldness and the way it blistered her beautiful skin. Would it be such a sin to just go home, talk like lovers the old-fashioned way, with her graciously ignoring how I freeze up, push her away when she gets too close, not vocalizing what she knows I'm holding back, kissing in candlelight, so she can't see the depressing depth of my scars. I think about all the pages of my past that she might not be able to get past, scrunched up in the back of my mind are the days I said goodbye to, cautiously replaced by carefully curated presentations, pretty, perfect pictures that gloss over my less glorious days. We're running for a train, her and who I currently am. I turn back and I see old days and old ways chasing me. And I'm thinking again about the press bio where I pushed away the way things were, ushering in new beginnings where I could be something she wouldn't feel sympathy for or tread on tear-stained eggshells to reach. I think of each and every day before I met her, trying to trust her enough to have the kind of heart that I think she has, driving myself mad and pretending I was born at 24. Trying to face-tune my life until it is safe for her to see, so she'll never know that my life overflowed so many times when I was too young and my hands were too small to reach out and rein it in. I don't know where to begin, and I'm conscious of keeping things light and not dropping my whole deal on her dainty head, because I can't even handle that, and I've been built by all I've been through. And now we've missed the train, and I'm pooling the platform with the bruises that life left, and I can't catch my breath, and there's nothing left. She has broken the walls, stepping over the stones I placed around myself, a spell to keep what's left of me safe, an enchantment that screams, please, I've had enough. But she is brave when I can't be, becoming my new spell. Breathtaking bricks, built all around my messed up moat, and her arms speak so loud, telling me that she has the kind of heart that I think she has. While the world walks past, I am learning to be loved gently. I was actually running for a train, and as usual, I was lost, because St. Pancras is a huge station. If you've never been there, it's absolutely huge. and like it's like a shopping center and also a train station. And anyway, so I was running trying to find my platform and then trying to find where my train was, because apparently there was like two trains on the same platform. Like, anyways, and then I just suddenly had this idea about, you know, running away from who you are almost. And it just kind of, you know, as I got on the train, which I actually didn't miss, to be honest, and started thinking up these things and writing them down, it all just sort of, I got back halfway home and it had become this full idea. And I was like, oh, great, wonderful, that would be fun. The kids will love that. But yeah, I guess it's just weird how sometimes those kinds of thoughts just kind of hit you like right in the face. And you're like, oh hello. So that's fun, if not a little troubling. You had come to help my mother move house. We were pretending that you were just a friend, because it's hard to explain the desperation of your separation when you're separating someone else's whole life apart to pack into neat boxes where nothing is complicated. We said that one day we would tell her over dinner, a faraway dinner that we don't have to think about. So for now, every now and then, we'd sneak off. You were a rushed but romantic whirlwind on my childhood bed, a tender tornado to take my mind off the anxious thrill of moving on. I was ignoring my ex in my pocket, his text, jealous green, ran up my screen across a picture of us that we had taken at Westminster Bridge, where your hands had softly asked my waist, "Will you stay with me?" I understood that your hands were as sweet and sentimental as the rest of you. I wasn't sure why, almost feeling envious of the way you could look at me and see somebody that you wanted to be close to. It was that day on Westminster Bridge where the wind seemed to pull us together, giving your well-spoken hands exciting ideas, that I decided I would look at that picture every day, keeping you on my screen so close that I could almost hear your soft whisper every morning that I awoke without your hands and their exotic accent. Well, an accent that's exotic to a girl from Kent. So, all that being said, you can imagine how annoying it became to see someone running up and down the happy memories I was trying to make. I couldn't even remember how his hand sounded. I certainly didn't care. So I put my phone in my pocket, pretending that we were in a place with no reception, so I could be received by the safe span of your arms. So guess who had another weird dream? It was me, of course. I don't really remember what having normal dreams was like. I don't even know what a normal dream would be, really. Anyway, I've had a weird dream about this person before, and I did write about it, because of course I did. This dream that I just had was a lot less surreal than the last one. Like, the last one was just, like, so vivid and weird, but this one was a lot more, like, just normal and everyday, you know? So... it was just us doing normal stuff, but throughout the dream I kept getting messages from this other person who I haven't had a dream about before, actually, and they didn't really make an appearance apart from as an annoying phone notification, so I don't know what that says about them. But this person is actually not my ex. Like, I've never been in a relationship with them. But in the dream, I just kept thinking that's my ex-boyfriend. He's not, but there we are. And he kept texting me and I kept getting really annoyed. And you know, I think, you know, I don't know. The way I'm going to interpret it myself is sometimes, you know, it's like, I'm about to quote Glee. Don't at me, don't judge me, I don't care. There's this line where my favourite character, Kurt, he's talking about his relationship with his ex-boyfriend, and he's talking to his new boyfriend, and he says, I desperately want to be over him. And I think about that all the time because, like, I know that feel. And so I think that was kind of one of the themes of the dream in my realm of sleep. I was thinking, you know, I guess there are some things in my life that I really wish I could not think about and not remember, you know? And so I guess it was me just trying to, you know, tell myself, it's okay. You are strong enough to move on from that. It's fine. I don't know. Anyway, I was asleep. How the hell should I know what was going on? But it was very weird to see this person again. And I was kind of like, hey, what's going on? And then, like, obviously, as always happens when I have a dream about someone like this, like, the next day, I was kind of low-key obsessed with them for a little bit until I kind of, I don't know, forgot, I guess. or wrote about it and got it out of my system, I suppose, really is the more accurate explanation for that. But I guess it was nice to see them again. I was like, oh, haven't seen you in a while. How are you? You know what I mean? But, like, you know, in my own sort of internal movie theater, I suppose. But yeah, that's kind of where that came from. As I said, I don't think I remember what it's like to just have normal dreams that aren't, you know, sort of thought-provoking. That's all for this week's episode, but I will see you again next week. you can find more of my work on my website, which is jenniferwan.com. The link is also in the description. There's lots of fun, free content. there'll be two new videos this week on my website as well, if I'm remembering it correctly. There'll be a video for Early Autumn and also St. Pancras, which you can stream. I think Early Autumn should be Monday and St. Pancras should be Friday. Actually, let me just check that because I think I may have got that the wrong way round. Oh no. when was that on? Yes. Yes, I was right actually. So Early Autumn will be released on Monday, and St. Pancras will be released on Friday, I think. But if you are a patron subscriber, you can actually see them right now already. And you can also, if you're a Patreon subscriber, there's lots of new things for subscribers this week, actually. You can get a preview copy of my next book that's available for download for subscribers. You can also get an early copy of an instrumental album that I made to accompany the new book, which is up there on Patreon, whatever you want to call it. It's there. For subscribers on Patreon and also for members of the early release program, which is a little program where you can get access to things early. So there's lots of content there, but it's also on my website, which is jenniferwan.com. Just in case you forgot, there's lots of free content there already that you can look at, lots of videos, lots of audio content. lots of written content, so lots of fun stuff for you to do and see and hear and so on. Yeah. I'm also on social media with the username Miss J Squared. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, Tumblr. You can find details of any live events that I'm doing on my website or in the description. There's a little bit about that in there as well. We still, I say we, it's literally just me. There is still the special offer on my Patreon. New subscribers and existing subscribers get an exclusive print of one of my poems if they subscribe this month. And subscriptions start from as low as $1. And you get access to lots of early content, lots of exclusive content, and stuff like that. So I think that's everything, but I will see you again next week. Good night, my love.